So we're in a sermon series called Gifted and Called, in which we are looking at God's call on our lives. And one of the first things I want to remind you of is that God has a call for each of us. And it's not just about ordained ministry, but God needs each of us to serve in ways that only we can serve, only where God has put us. And so I hope that you are open to that. So as we prepare for today's scripture, we're looking at the call of Samuel. And there's some things that you need to know before you hear this scripture. First is that things were pretty tough in the nation at the time, or they were shortly going to be. God had given them a way of being ruled that was via judges. And so it was a way of God speaking directly to a judge who would then rule over the people. But and I shared with you this with you a few weeks ago. The people said, you know what, all the other kingdoms have kings and we want a king. And God knew that things were not going to go well with a king. And so the call of Samuel begins long before the kings were crowned and long before all of those troubles. But even before those troubles with the nation began, God was already at work to bring about a solution, to bring about a way forward through the person of Samuel. And so let me share with you the beginning of Samuel's story, because we're in 1 Samuel chapter 3, but some things happen in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel. There are two different people that you need to know about. One is Eli, not the world's best sound guy, but Eli the priest in this Bible story. And he is a good priest, but he has two sons. And his sons are named named Hophni and Phinehas. Tweedledee and Tweedledum, or Tweedledum and Tweedledummer. They were not wonderful people. In fact, Scripture says, now Eli's sons were despicable men who did not know the Lord. And in fact, Scripture expands on this some, but that's enough said about them. They were despicable men who did not know the Lord. So you have Eli, who has two sons that are despicable. And then you have another woman, and they're unknown to each other at this point, and her name is Hannah. And Hannah is unable to have children. And this causes her particular pain, as it did back then, as it continues to do now for women. And so, as women have before and after and to this day, Hannah prayed to God with all her might that this be lifted from her. So one day she was at the temple praying, and Eli the priest saw this woman, Hannah, muttering under the breath, her breath. And Eli the priest came up to Hannah and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself being drunk at church like this." And Hannah said, "I'm not drunk. I am praying to the Lord." And Eli was impressed at her faith and said, "May God grant your prayer." And God did. And Hannah, lo and behold, had a son. She named him Samuel, God hears. And after having received from God the very thing that she longed most for, a son, she gave that son back to God. When Samuel was about 3 years old, when he was weaned, Hannah brought her child Samuel back to the temple, saw the priest Eli, the one who had the two no-count sons, and said, "I present him to you," and left him there. Now, although this is in Scripture, I just want to clarify for all the parents here that we love your children. But at the end of the day, when we go to the nursery, we expect not to find any leftovers there, just to make sure we're clear on that. But in that day, Hannah left Samuel with Eli, and so Samuel grew up in God's house, sort of as a full-time altar boy. So the story that Tara is about to start reading for us picks... Sorry. Tara's name is in the... No, we'll take whoever. Wonderful. Which will shortly be read to you by a Higgins. Well read for you by a Higgins. You're going to be hearing about an incident that happens to Samuel when he's about 8 years old in the temple. You see, God is at work to bring great hope to the people long before they even need it. And the story has begun in the distress of two families, Eli's family with those two sons and Hannah's family and her distress at not having had children. So yes, come on up and read to us.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had become to grow dim so that he could not see, was laying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said, "here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
You know, I think it was my grandfather's Welsh blood. My grandfather, whom I called Pop, was my father's father. He came here from Wales as a young boy with his father when his father came to work in the iron mines near Birmingham, Alabama. And my Welsh grandfather, Pop, had a wonderful way of telling a story and sayings and reciting poems. And he didn't talk a whole lot, but when he got a twinkle in his eye, you knew that you were about to hear one of his sayings. And one of my favorites of his was, "I see," said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. "I see," said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. You know, it seems so appropriate because in today's story, it is a blind man who is able to see what's going on and actually help God move forward with his plan. So we begin with the boy Samuel ministering to the Lord under Eli. I told you how he was a gift from God to his mother and that his mother gave him back to God. And so he grew up from age 3 in the temple working and ministering. But the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And it's important to hear that at the outset. There are times in nations, which is what this describes, where the word of the Lord is rare and visions are not widespread and a sense of direction seems lost, but there also is that in each of our own lives too. No matter how much we know Jesus, no matter how much we love the Lord and try to follow, there are seasons where it feels like the word of the Lord is rare and that we have no sense of vision for where Christ is taking us. And it is in those moments then that this call comes to Samuel very clearly. So here's what's happened. As Samuel's being raised in the temple, Eli has his room and it's in the back, and Eli has gotten older over all these years, and so his eyes are dim. In other words, he really can't see much at all. And Samuel sleeps where the ark is, and there is a lamp burning there. It was the lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, which is a way of letting us know what time it is, because they would light the lamp at sunset, and then the lamp would burn all night until dawn came. There would never be darkness in God's house. There would always be a light. So if the lamp is burning so that it has not yet gone out, that makes it sound like it's kind of those pre-dawn hours. It's not yet light, but it will be. I'd say maybe around 4 a.m. And so Samuel's lying there. And the Lord says, "Samuel, Samuel." And he says, "Here I am." And he runs to Eli and wakes him up and says, "Okay, what do you want?" And Eli, I'm sure, was sound asleep. And he said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed, you young whippersnapper." And so Samuel goes back to bed, and the voice comes again and says, "Samuel." And again he called, and he goes to Eli and he says, "You called?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And then he says, "Wait a minute." And Eli, who could not see, saw what was going on, that it was the Lord calling. And he says, "Samuel, here's what you need to do. When you go back to bed, when you hear that voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went back and lay down in his place. And the voice came again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the voice of the Lord spoke to him. Now, what the Lord had to say was hard to hear, because they were words about Eli and his family and those sons of his. They were not words of hope. And so when Samuel, this young boy, got up in the morning, he didn't want to tell Eli what God had told him. But Eli immediately said, "Samuel, what did you hear from the Lord?" And Samuel didn't want to say anything. But finally, he said, "Well, Eli, you need to know that the Lord has bad things to say about you and your family." And to Eli's credit, he responded when he heard these things about his family, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So out of all the things that happen in this story, out of all the details, all the questions that come up, there is one that has been stuck in my craw all week. And part of it is because I don't know that it's good news for us church people. In fact, I am concerned that it might be the opposite. And here's what it is. Samuel's very presence on this earth had been a gift from God. Hannah named him God Speaks. She brought him to God's house. And Samuel, as early as he could have memories, had been in God's house. And Eli was a good priest, as far as we can tell from Scripture. And so Samuel had been serving God's people in God's house, sleeping in the very room with the presence of God and with that light that burned all night so that everybody would know that God's light never, ever goes out, not even in the darkest night. And for all of those things, when God says to Samuel, calls him by name, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel has no clue who's calling him. Samuel has no clue. And if Samuel, who spent his entire life in God's house, has no clue when God is calling him, then what hope do we have? This is why it's been bothering me. I mean, what are we to make of this? How are we to hear God's call if Samuel couldn't? And it gets a little worse, because the more I think about it, the more I think that being in church may even be a liability for hearing God's call. I mean, really. Here we are in this beautiful sanctuary with this soaring ceiling that goes up and meets the wall. And you have that sense that where that light's coming down over there, that's where the holy is, that we feel so close to God here. And it opens onto God's world out the windows. And we've got the cross, which reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice for us. And we're surrounded by that. And does it make us immune to the holy? Does being surrounded by God's presence in a way that we claim and we sing about and we see, does it make it harder for us to be astounded by the holy? I don't know, but it worries me. Because what if we get numb to it? And what if when God calls our name, and God surely will, we're not able to hear either? Do we forget our first love by being here so often? Because there is a love that you felt. There's a fire that you have felt that brought you to this place. There has been a time in your life where you have known that God is real, where you are doing something entirely different, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, there is something to this. God is speaking to me. And as we live into that call, do we lose the call? Oh, I hope and pray not, because God continues to call us, and God needs us. God needs us, especially here in this place. God needs us, the church people, to hear the call and to live into that call. So what do we do? How do we keep that from happening to us? Well, I want to encourage us to look at what Eli did for Samuel. Because the first thing, when Samuel heard that call and did not recognize it, did not have any clue, even though he was in God's house at the time and God was calling him by name, he went to Eli. And Eli was the one who was able to say, you know what, Samuel? You better start paying attention. And you need to listen. There are times in our lives where the only way we can hear the call of God is through a trusted sister or brother in Christ. It might be a spouse or a friend. It might be your small group here, your Sunday school class. It might be that the other fellowship groups you have here at God's house. I'm sure the band members, as they're between practices or between songs, talking to each other and sharing with one another, they listen, and I'm sure they reflect that back for each other. And we need people that do that for us too. To be able to say, you know, Sally, as I hear you talking about this, I think you better pay attention, because I think it may be that God is talking to you through this. And I also want to remind you that God needs to use you at times to be those Eli voices for other people, to say that to others, to say, you know what, I hear you saying that and I think something else is going on. You better listen. Yeah, so the first thing is to be with somebody else who can help you sort through these calls that are happening on your life. There's another thing, though, and that is, don't wait for the perfect time to hear God's call. When did this story happen? Probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. Think about 4 o'clock in the morning. That is not the time in which I want to say, yes, Lord, I am ready to receive your call. 4 o'clock in the morning for me, if I rouse at 4 o'clock in the morning, that means, first of all, I haven't gotten quite enough sleep yet. And I'm owed a few more hours of sleep, right? And the other thing is, though, that when you wake up at 4 o'clock, you need to get back to sleep right away, because if you don't get to sleep right away, then it's going to be 5 o'clock soon, and then it's about time to be 6 and about time to get up. And so when you wake up at 4 o'clock, you don't want to wake up, and you want to go back to sleep so you can get your sleep, right? Well, I'm not just speaking metaphorically here, too. Because when the call of God comes, whether it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, literally, it may also come at a time that's like that metaphorically. There are times where in our lives where it's like, fine, God, but not right now. You know, I've got so much going on in my life right now, God, that I don't have time for your call. Or it might be, you know what, God, this is finally me time. This is finally the time in my life where I get to do for me for once. I don't have other obligations, and I really don't want to have to deal with a whole new call on my life right now. Let me rest. Let me sleep just a little bit longer. But God calls at those times. And don't wait until you're perfect either. God calls us where we are, when we are. Don't be like that person who says, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor for my checkup once I lose 15 more pounds because I want to be healthy when I go to my doctor for my checkup, right? No, God calls us as we are. And so listen and respond. Speaking to all of you, I don't know what God's call is for each of you right now. When Samuel went to Eli, and Eli, the blind man who saw what was going on, he didn't say, okay, Samuel, the Lord is calling you and here's what you're supposed to do. No, all Eli could say is, the Lord is calling. Go and listen. I don't know what God has for you in your place, in your life, but I know that God does. And I know that listening will allow you to hear. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's what Eli told Samuel to say to God. Samuel wasn't quite ready, though, to let go. Rather than saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, he just said, speak, your servant is listening, because he wasn't quite bought into it yet. But it didn't matter. It was enough. The Lord spoke to him. And once he spoke, then God was able to put into motion plans that would solve problems that the nation of Israel did not yet fully have. When they got the first king, Saul, and things went badly, Samuel was then an adult himself and able to go anoint David, who would be the solution to the problem of Saul. You see, when Samuel said, speak, for your servant listens, God was able to do work that Samuel had no way of knowing about, that didn't even exist yet, but God was able to work with that. See, don't get immune to the love of God that surrounds us so abundantly in this place. Don't be immune, but hear the call of God, because God surely has something for each of us to do. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Don't be blind to the call of God on your life, but look, pay attention, listen. God is calling you. Will you pray with me? Oh God, keep calling us. In spite of our lack of response, keep calling us. In spite of us being tired or distracted, keep calling us. In spite of all of the barriers that would keep us from hearing your call, keep calling us. Enable us to live out the call that you've given us, that we may be the people that you want us to be. Keep using us. Keep calling us, O Christ. Amen.